individualized and tailored. The impacts of homeschooling today in the Upper Cumberland. A national survey group says, quote, homeschooling is the fastest growing form of education in the United States, and it's now bordering on the mainstream. We're focused on homeschooling and how it impacts the students involved. Our guests are four homeschool mothers, Shannon Hayes, Kelly Rich, Adonna Pryor, and Michelle Warmoth.
Michelle, let me start with you. Why do you think homeschooling is growing so much in the aftermath of COVID?
I think it's a multifaceted reason. One is I think parents brought their children home, and where they previously felt incapable of educating their children, they found out very quickly that they were capable. And I think that in doing that, it also identified gaps in their children's learning that they didn't realize that they were there. Another big part of that is it kind of, I think, moved the culture of the home where parents were with their children and enjoyed spending time with their children. And it kind of was like a wake-up call to the family, I think, in bringing the kids back home and becoming that family unit that, you know, we were created to be.
I do think there's something to that. I think people remembered, oh, wait, I actually like my children. Mm-hmm. Because when you're stuck in that 8 to 3 and riding a bus and coming home and having homework and everything is so stressful that you sometimes forget and everybody's a little mm-hmm. cranky. I actually had one of my children that public schooled for a few years before I started homeschool with the second and subsequent children. And it's like, oh, wait, no, I enjoy my mm-hmm. children. I enjoy having mm-hmm. them at home. And there's just a freedom and a joy in it. Mm-hmm. That's what I always tell people. Yeah.
I think Shannon's hit on something important, and that is this stress level. When COVID hit and you have your children home with you, I think you notice not only the stress level of the parents is going down, but the stress level of those kids went way down too. So they started to see children they hadn't seen before, kids who were relaxed, kids who didn't have to get up at 6 a.m. every morning and spend 9 hours on a bus. You know, the bus passes my home before 7 a.m., doesn't drop those kids off until a little before 4 o'clock. So that's a lot of time for a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old to be invested somewhere away from home. So when they're at home, that stress level has got to have decreased incrementally. And I know that the parents realized that, saw how their children were thriving without the stress of having to get up early and attend a school and have to perform and then come home and then do homework, hours of homework, before they finally just crash in bed and never get to enjoy any part of life during the week.
Part of what I want to do in our conversation here is when you bring up interesting points like that, I'm sure somebody is thinking right now, well, yeah, but life is routine. And so what better time to teach kids mm-hmm. than when they're kids that life mm-hmm. is a routine like that? So I'm going to hit on some of those things, and I want you guys to educate us on, okay, what about that? So what about that idea that school, part of what you're learning in school mm-hmm. is math and English and all of that, but you're also learning that, you know, golly, it's hard to go to work every day,
yeah,
and 8 hours, and
it is hard to go to work, and it's difficult for an 18 or 20 year old to go to work. It is for a 5-year old or a 6-year old. If you're demanding the same thing from them as you are an 18 and 20 year old, I would classify that as almost an abusive situation where you're saying, look, I know you're only 5 or 6, but I'm expecting you to do the work of an 18-year-old. It's like looking at a 1-year-old and saying, you know what? I need from you to really be walking and communicating with me really well right now. I know your brain doesn't function that way, and I know it's going to overstress your continually developing young brain, but I still want you to do it. It borders on abuse. You are overstressing that tiny mind that is still growing, that is still maturing, and is not capable of doing what maybe a 10 or 13 year old is capable of doing. and you're putting way too much stress on them in some situations. Now, I have a child. I've got four kids. I'm sure all of us have this experience. I have a kid who would have thrived in the public school situation. She would have loved getting up at 6 a.m. and going and doing worksheets and reading. But I have three kids who would have absolutely been crushed by that system, mentally and physically been crushed by that type of system.
And that kind of points to why I began homeschooling. It's due to the flexibility. I have three boys. My oldest is the kind of child that wants to get up, get on it, get his school day done. My middle, not so much. But I love that we have flexibility not only in the routines of our day, which I agree, my boys do well with routines, but they are individualized. My oldest routine looks different from my middle's routine. And then I have a feral two-year-old, and he just constantly throws us curveballs throughout the day. But also flexibility to gain new experiences. We get to travel a lot. My oldest gets to pursue his interest. We just recently went to Hawaii because he earned an invitation to the World Championships in Pokemon cards. But he has the time. He doesn't have to stress. Again, the stress really factors in a lot. To my oldest, he worries about things, but he doesn't have to stress about, you know, making sure his schoolwork is done. He got to pursue those interests, and we got to start our school year a little bit later. We get the flexibility of our calendar back. There's just a lot of freedom that comes with it.
Did any of you work before you?
I definitely did, yes. I was an independent support coordinator for adults with mental disabilities, and actually that job sort of set me up for my career in teaching my son, because my son is on the autism spectrum. So I sort of had that baseline knowledge of what therapies were available and things for him. And so for us, being able to homeschool meant we could have his therapy during the day. And that child has put in more work to work on all of the things that other children would, you know, have come normal to them. But we've had that ability, so we weren't 9-to-5-ing it and school and then therapy at school. And I don't know what his therapist at school is doing. So it really has been just the most amazing thing for him. And that has been his routine. And as to you talking about routine, everybody's routine looks different. So none of the four of us are going to have the same routine. And then as adults, your routine and your job here at the radio station is going to look very different than someone's routine who works down the street at the factory third shift. So really, the only time that we are ever segregated into a certain time frame and by certain age groups is in public school. And so you are not socializing with anyone outside of your direct peers. You are not learning that multi-generational contact that our homeschoolers have the ability to learn. And then you're set up for that 8-to-3. And I remember out of high school, I got a job as a waitress at night. And I was like, oh, this is terrible. And then I tried to work third shifts. And my body wasn't set up for that because I was programmed to that 8-to-3 routine.
Well, I did work third shift before homeschooling. I was a CNA in assisted living, and I worked third shift for 5 years. And that really, you have to adjust your entire schedule to that. And that kind of added into that need for flexibility, because there was a period of time where I thought that I might be homeschooling while working third shift. I was fortunate to get the opportunity to not have to do that. But along with that came the second child, so that just brought its own challenges.
Its own third shift.
Yeah. I'm
curious. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, going back to your comment on routine, I would answer that with a question. When, as adults, if our goal is to prepare our children for adulthood, to be successful, whatever that might look like for them in society, contributing members, as adults, when does it ever look like it does in the public school system?
When you're a public school teacher?
It's completely unrealistic for the vast majority of society. And it doesn't teach them the skills that they need to be successful. And so it's less about routine, but it's more about giving them the tools and enabling them to be successful in whatever they do in life. And it probably is not going to look like taking an hour ride to work, doing exactly what you're told, no communication with others, no interactions, you get in trouble for talking, and somehow that's socializing, and then you get that hour ride back, more homework, like Adonna was saying, and then you go to bed and you do it all over again. that's not realistic, nor is that healthy. Mm-hmm. Any mental health professional will tell you you're going to burn out and you're going to have severe mental consequences for those things. And yet we do them to our kids in the name of routine.
And I think what's interesting about that is that there is a misconception, and I bet every one of you hears it, about homeschooling, is that these are just kids that don't want routine. These are just kids that can't follow the rules. And these are parents who want their kids to be free of the rules and the structure. I mean, you hear that, mm-hmm. I'm sure, from people. So what's the reality of that? How do you set up your homeschooling situation to teach those
things? I mean, there are people that want that freedom, and there are people that homeschool because they don't want the rules. So you have such a spectrum of homeschoolers. Every single one of us here homeschool for a different reason, I guarantee, if you were to poll us. So, and we're just a tiny little sample. So how I set up my homeschool would look bananas to Kelly, and her kids would be like, what are you expecting from me? And vice versa. So that's the one thing when somebody asks you, well, how do I get started? That's so hard to answer. Let me know your kid. Mm-hmm. Let me see what your kid is good at. Let me see. I had one kid who learned to read between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. I had another one who was done with school from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. I was very tired for a lot of years.
But the four of you did not do it, my perception. Mm-hmm. You didn't do it just to escape the rules, to let kids do what they want to do.
No, which again, I think
is a misconception.
I did it because I thought I could do a better job than our public school system in my county. Yeah. That's 100% why I did it.
I would agree with her. We did it. It wasn't my choice. My husband, who had an elevated IQ, really disliked being cramped into a building and a teaching structure that to him was a total waste of time. And he realized that when he was in elementary school. He said, I can't learn this way. You give me the books, I'll take it home, I'll do it myself. He didn't want his children to suffer through the same thing. He didn't want his children to suffer through what he believed was a total waste of time. Now, my husband finished in the top 10 in his class. And he would tell you, he didn't meet a teacher that could teach him until he hit college. And he found a wonderful teacher at Tennessee Tech that was brilliant at teaching advanced calculus. Absolutely loved it. He said, there wasn't anybody that taught to me. They taught.
They could have taught very well.
They had to teach 30 children. Yeah,
so.
They had a particular method they had to follow. It just didn't fit him. And he didn't want his kids to go through that.
To take it out of education for a moment, it's kind of the conveyor belt way of building something versus baking an individual cookie one at a time.
It's exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sadly, there is, in 1898, our education commissioner, who was William Henry Harrison, I believe, said that our public school system was scientifically designed to keep children structured for the workplace. Yep. And that he did not expect public school students to be statesmen or physicians or lawyers. He expected them to join the workforce. And he said the schools were scientifically designed to do that. So I think as people, I think we would all say that when we first started homeschooling, we didn't see the benefits immediately. We didn't even realize in our own minds what beautiful thing we were giving to our kids and to our entire family. And it took us a couple of years to homeschool. I know it did me. I'm sure these other ladies will say the same. Before you sit back and go, wow, my kids really are different. We do have a routine. We do have a structure. We are doing math and science and history, but it's their mental well-being. It's their character. It's how they're responding to the adults around them, to the other kids around them. It's how they're treating people. It was this beautiful thing that you got to see after several years of homeschooling, that your kids really were opening up and being who they were supposed to be.
One of my favorite stories with my oldest is I was a couple of years into homeschooling. He was in about second grade. And I was still kind of second-guessing myself. Did I make the right decision? Well, we went to an event, and we were sitting on some bleachers, and there was a woman next to us, and he just started talking to her and asking her if she was excited for the thing we'd come to watch. And this woman reaches around, my son taps me on the shoulder and she goes, is this child homeschooled? And I just about like fainted. I'm thinking all of the worst things. I'm thinking, oh goodness, here's this little boy about, you know, 7 years old. And she goes, I can always tell because a homeschooled student can speak to another adult and not be nervous because they are used to being in so many different situations. And my son didn't think a second thing of it. He was excited for this event. He saw someone else who was waiting to see it as well. And this woman said, I homeschooled my children. So I've got it on my radar, but I can always tell.
And it's not necessarily something we teach them. It's because they're with us as we go about our daily routine. When I go to the library and I'm speaking to the librarian, my kids are with me, and I say, oh, you know what? You're going to have to check out your own books. You need to talk to the librarian. We go to the bank. You need to talk to the lady at the bank. We go to the grocery. My kids want something. You know what? You're going to have to pay for that. You put your items up there. You pay for that. And it's just I'm tired of dealing with you and your books and your stuff you want at the grocery, but you don't realize that they're learning every single time they see you interact with anybody in town. They're pulling on that information and they're learning, how do I speak to the waitress? How do I speak to the person at the bank? How am I speaking to this person at the library? And they learn from you how to show respect, how to show kindness, how to stand up for yourself, how to be confident. They learn all of those things by watching you. And it's a beautiful thing to see that as they mature in their lives.
As you started down this road, how daunting was the doubt of, oh my gosh, I didn't do very well in math. Oh gosh, I'm not very good with grammar. Oh gosh, I don't like science. Well, Michelle, how daunting is that, the curriculum part?
Well, I was thinking back to when you, your last question about, you know, homeschoolers not necessarily wanting to throw off the rules. I was one of those. I started my homeschooling in absolute rebellion to the system. I walked in, you know, there's a big long story leading up to this, but the day I pulled my kids out, I had two kindergartners, a newborn, and a second grader at the time. And I remember walking into that school office, withdrawing them from school, and them asking, well, why would you do such a thing? And I go, because I can do it better. And I was very angry at that point with just some of the things that had been happening. And then I got in the car and I went home and I thought, what have I done? And part of that is homeschooling was nowhere on our radar. I grew up in the public school system. My husband grew up in the public school system. I've lived on military bases. Homeschooling was such a foreign concept, and I had stepped into those waters having no clue what I was going to do. But it wasn't daunting because I also have the personality that if I need to learn something, if I need to know how to do something, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be very successful at it. And so I learned with my children. And I think that's one of the main beautiful big things about homeschooling as a family is you don't have to come to the table knowing all the answers because you have the resources at your fingertips. So you learn and discover together. Now, I have 9 kids. I've been homeschooling for going on 19 years. And, you know, there's still things I don't know. There's still things that I'm like, ugh, I really don't want to teach you, Trig. I have zero interest in doing that. But there are resources. So it's not daunting because we live in an information age. We have plenty of opportunities in the community through tutorials or tutors or co-ops and things like that, that if we need something, it's right at our fingertips to do. So it's not like homeschooling is a lonely journey. It's a community journey.
Did anybody have a daunting experience?
I did.
I'm not the one. I guess I'm just overconfident. But I do remember when we first decided and I said, do you trust me to do this? And my husband said, who else would I trust with my children? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And we just jumped. My husband has a doctoral degree I have a simple bachelor's degree. So we were like, we're not dummies. We can figure this out. Mm-hmm. Now it's algebra time. So my answer is we have computer programs for that because it's been about 30 years since I've had to actually do algebra myself, and I don't love it, and I don't have to do it because the man on the computer does that for me. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was daunted. I'm the mortal here in the room, I suppose. But there, like Michelle said, there are so many resources. And the first thing I turn to is actually just our state's government website that does list these public school standards of what our kids are being taught. And so you have that framework if that's the route you want to go. Again, the flexibility is just amazing to be able to choose your own curriculum. I am probably one of the more conventional. I have a schoolroom in my house. We have, you know, tables and chairs, and we have a little bit more of a traditional experience, but that's what works well with my kids, especially my middle. And now that I'm seeing him, he's in first grade, and my oldest is in seventh grade, and they have both been homeschooled from the beginning. Neither of them have been in public school. But I'm seeing how different they are now that I'm getting to, you know, the nitty gritty in first grade with my second child. We're using different curriculum than I used with my first. We are doing different routines and methods because that is what works well for my second child. And I love that. Again, for me, it will always come back to the flexibility of that.
Explain for the person who doesn't understand, what do you have to meet in terms of state requirements? If the requirement is this in math or this in English, what do you have to meet as a homeschooler?
Can we let Adonna take this? Because Adonna is the director of a homeschool umbrella school.
So it depends on who you're registered with. If you register through your local education association, it's called an independent homeschooler, then you need to follow what the state law says. So you're going to be turning in order to graduate, you're going to be turning in 4 credits in English, 4 credits in math, and those math credits have to look specific. If you want a diploma from them, you want to graduate from the county, you have to have Algebra 1, Algebra 2, a higher math. They've now added computer science, for those of you that aren't aware of that, as one of their math options. But the science has to be biology, chemistry, and a lab. So it has to look exactly like...
Can I stop you just for a second?
Yeah.
So that brings up an interesting question that I just want to address right here.
Sure.
So are kids getting a high school diploma from Putnam County?
I believe that if you register as independent, the parents have to create their own diploma.
Okay.
I don't believe that the county will give you one. I believe that the county, I'm not sure if they actually form transcripts or if the parent would have to do that themselves. If, however, you're registered with an umbrella school, which is the second option for homeschoolers, then the umbrella school will kind of set those guidelines. Most umbrella schools are like the one that I'm the associate director of, and they will give you different types of diplomas. There is the traditional diploma, where you have to have the 21 credits, you have to have the certain hours in each one of those areas, and that is for the person who's going to go on to college, whether it's 2-year or 4-year. But you also have another diploma for someone who doesn't want to go to a 4-year college. Maybe they just want to graduate, they want to have a job in the workforce, they want to go to a technical school someplace. TCAT is wonderful. And then we also offer graduation certificates for people who have learning disabilities. So that even if you have a child who has a learning disability, they have a certificate that they can put in their hand to say, I've completed education. I may not have been able to go through Algebra 1 and Algebra 2, but that's okay. That family can make that choice and say, my 18-year-old, my 19-year-old is done with their education. They're never going to be in the workforce because of some sort of special need, but I do want them to have a type of graduation certificate. So every umbrella school is different. We just happen to offer several different things. But yes, homeschoolers in general are graduating with the exact same schooling, the exact same classes as public and private school students are, and they tend to score higher on the ACT and the SAT than both private and public schooled students do. So we know that they're getting those classes that are required for college entrance.
Who wants to explain what a co-op is? That you guys threw that term out.
I think we have a couple of co-op founders in the house. We are all affiliated with one or another, with various different missions and purposes. So a co-op is a cooperative. So it is exactly what it sounds like. It is a cooperative effort amongst homeschool parents to band together and offer opportunities to their children. Our co-op is called Upper Cumberland Inclusive Homeschoolers. We welcome everyone. So it has no religious credo. It has no political affiliation. We just are kids having fun being kids. So all of the parents have a job. If you are not teaching a class or helping in nursery, you are on cleanup or you are filling in, etc. We meet once a week in the fall and spring. It's a whole fun thing. And so there are more social co-ops like ours. There are more educational co-ops. So there are different varieties of co-ops, but basically it's not a drop-off. It's not a tutorial. Everybody pitches in, and everybody helps.
So give me an example. I'm going there Thursday afternoon for what?
Well, we're not there on Thursdays, but if you were with, if you were with
She's
me.
She's the technical one.
Exactly. Well, if you were with me, we would be doing book club. So okay. I have an elementary school book club this semester, and we are reading and discussing a book. We do projects related to the book. We talk. We socialize. We play with my dog that comes with us. We have one class that is called Slimeology, and they are making slime. This week they did a glow-in-the-dark slime. We have a yoga for breath work that is taught by a certified yoga therapist. We have an art teacher with an art degree downstairs teaching color theory, I think. And Kelly here is in our nursery, our early learners program there as well. She can tell you what they're doing.
So we will read a story each week. We've got currently children from about 2 to 6 years old. So we have a wide range of ages. And I think that's something that's, you know, very unique to our co-ops is that we are not segregated by a particular, you know, singular age, grade level. We usually have ranges. So we'll have early elementary, older elementary, middle, high school, a range in between. But our nursery class slash early learners, we'll do little small science experiments and crafts and just all those basic skills that you would work on in like a preschool setting. We are getting to meet together and they are getting to do that with a variety of peers in a variety of ages.
Does a co-op answer another misconception about homeschooling? That kids never get to be around other kids. And so they don't learn that, you know, that Shannon's kind of mean. And,
you know, they learn that really quickly.
And Kelly's, you know, kind of tough to deal with and those types of things.
So I'm the director of Rooted Homeschool Co-op. And our co-op meets Tuesdays, has classes anywhere from we have a lab biology course to basic automotives to building an alphabet book, all ages, all ranges. If they know, if they get sent to Miss Michelle, that we're going to go have a talk with their parent, you know, things like that. But I think that it provides the, it provides such a co-op provides such a vast variety of experiences where each parent can bring their best, so to speak, to the table. So personally, I do not want a pig or an earthworm or some other smelly creature dissected on my kitchen table. So they get to go do that in biology class. and in the same way as if I know for my children, if they were with me and I taught every class to them that they needed, that they would miss out on other people's personalities, expertise, things like that. So they get to go and benefit from others in the same way that, you know, other families are benefiting from those other parents and families. And so it is a, I think it's a wonderful experience, you know, for children. I actually cannot imagine homeschooling without being a part of that larger community. And so.
Yeah, we joined a homeschool co-op in the early 2000s. I think that one formed here in 2004, 2005, I can't remember. What the year was, and then I took over the leadership of that in 2007. And my main goal was to have a single place where homeschool parents could gather and they could talk to each other, and then they could learn that they're not alone in what they're doing. Maybe my child can't read. Well, I get to talk to somebody else who's coming in there and saying, you know what? I've got an 8-year-old boy and he can't read either. What are you doing? How do we help each other? So for me, the most important part of that was that connection that the moms were making as they came through that door. And my biggest, joy was when people left and formed their own co-ops. We had White County. I remember a huge group broke off and formed a co-op in White County. And a woman called me and said, you know, I'm really afraid that we're going to make your group smaller. And I said, no, this is fabulous. You need to meet in a different county. You need to meet there because we have people that are south of White County that aren't coming to Putnam County's co-op because it's too far. So you need to have one in Putnam County. I loved it when people would come and say, we need to break off and we need to form another co-op. And you're going, fabulous. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Make your own ideas. Do your own thing. I'm not insulted by that. I'm not upset by that. You do what you need to do, because parents, once moms realize they're not alone, there is somebody out there that is having the exact same problem with their child that you're having. There is somebody out there that has questions. Then they're less likely to quit homeschooling. They're much more likely to stay, and that is what is helping children. My goal is that these kids are blessed through the homeschooling journey and that they're not stressed. And you do that by having these kids at home with their parents more.
And she really does mean that, because I actually started at her co-op. I taught there for 4 years. That's where I met Kelly. When I formed my own co-op, mm-hmm. Adonna is still as kind to me, as helpful to me, will answer mm-hmm. any questions that I have. Adonna, I don't think I told you, but I formed my own co-op. I never officially told her.
I know.
Right? but we work on the fair board together, mm-hmm. and she was the first person that I contacted to ask if she would come here today when they asked me if I knew anyone else that would come mm-hmm. talk about homeschooling. She is very different than I am in a lot of ways. But it's all about those kids mm-hmm. and the appreciation for homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So it is coming together for mm-hmm. no matter what reason you choose to homeschool for, we support that mm-hmm. and we want to see that. So we're yep. cheering on all of the yes. other homeschoolers, even yes. the ones that are different than us. So it's yes. not like, oh, they think different. I'm going to speak poorly. No, they're doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they have the freedom and right to do, and mm-hmm. I'm doing my thing. Mm-hmm. And I think yeah. that's great, because you don't get that in a lot of other areas in the world mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm. We've found, I brought some information, some research from the National Home Education Research Institute, and they have found that homeschool children are much more tolerant of other people's religious beliefs and other people's political beliefs. And I think that's because they're raised among people that don't believe exactly like everyone that's in the classroom or everyone that's at their home. They can talk to people. They can debate. One of my best stories is during the Revolution, there was a school in Massachusetts. Home education and public education started in this country very early. So before we were a country, there were schools. They were all boys. I'm sorry, ladies, but they were all boys. But there was a school in Massachusetts, and there were two teachers. One was a father, one was a son, one was a loyalist, one was going with the colonists and wanted to separate. And they would have arguments and discussions between father and son. And the students, one of the students wrote in a diary how much it helped him formulate his own ideas on what freedom looked like, on what it meant to be a British citizen, what it meant to leave and transfer that over to becoming an American citizen. And he learned that at the feet of these men who were having kind, respectful debates. And these children were hearing these. And it's a wonderful thing that our kids get to hear the discussions that we have. And then we say, you know what? That's great. I know that you're different from me. You're going to start your own co-op. That's fabulous. I love it. We'll have people join your co-op. And they, you know, if they want to stay with this co-op, it didn't matter.
Both.
Yeah, or do
some
both.
Some do both. Some do three or four co-ops.
It didn't matter. The thing was, they were learning And they, for me, they were remaining as homeschoolers, which was the best place, I think, that those kids could have been.
One of the things about co-ops, too, that I think can be a misconception is that it's a mom's club. And that is not at all the case. There are so many homeschool dads out there. Mm-hmm. It's just moms kind of, you know, when you think of homeschooling parents, you think of the moms. But like in our co-op, we have a handful of dads that are teaching classes that are coming and being there every Tuesday, all those hours from start to finish. And they're pouring into not only their children, but others' children as well. And so it is truly a family and community. Homeschooling is truly family and community. It's not just a bunch of moms who decided to do something different. It is, homeschooling is a family choice. It's a family decision that enriches generations. And both parents are a part of that. In the co-op setting, a lot of times you're going to probably find more moms. That's just the way it is. But not always. Not always at all.
Which is a good place, because I'm going to talk about you guys for a few minutes. It's no secret that we have changed in as a society over the last 30 years, that women are in the workplace, and in fact, women get a lot of their satisfaction, benefits, self-worth from being in the workplace. And yet, some of you have made the decision that, no, I want to work with my kids. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious what the reaction is from other women to your decision.
I've never had anyone react to me negatively. Really? To say, oh, why are you homeschooling? Or why are you staying at home? I don't know. I worked full-time, you know, sometimes 80 hours a week from the time I was 18 until the time I was married when I was 30. Managed a nursery locally. And then when we had children, we decided as a couple before we were married that I would stay home and take care of the kids. That was just a priority. I love doing that. It wasn't a problem for me. It wasn't an issue. I never had anybody question me or say anything. Now, maybe my personality is, they see me and they go, you know what, your face is not good.
I was going to say, yeah.
It never bothered me. No one ever said anything. I expected it. I expected people to say something, but
I questioned myself and I struggled with it a little bit because I did work very hard to go to college and be the first grandchild on either side of my family to do so. Mm-hmm. And I loved my job and the individuals that I got to support, and I was very passionate about it, and that was my purpose. So after a couple of years, I was like, oh, I started feeling, is this it? So actually what I did was I founded a nonprofit that we do community service events 3 or 4 times a year. We give back through that. I worked with the fair board on some stuff. I started volunteering at the co-ops, and so I made my purpose not only my children, because that wasn't going to completely satisfy me. And that's not selfish, and that's not wrong. You have to fulfill yourself, because then if you're not, you're going to be miserable for those children. So my children are out working these events with me, and we delivered 4,000 pairs of socks to the rescue mission in the foster closet last week. So my kids are also getting an extra dose of that community service, and they're with me and able to help lug all of those boxes in there for me. But they're giving back, and they're seeing me be fulfilled and doing those things as well. Mm-hmm. I formed a couple of other different things. I took over the prom after somebody didn't want to do it anymore. That's Adonna. So we have 175 kids coming to our prom this year. We sold out tickets in one day. We went from selling 100 tickets to the prom board saying, okay, we're comfortable with 150. So now I'm at 175. I've not told anybody no yet. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm a sap. I'm really like, of course, especially if you're a senior, you're coming. Don't air this until after prom. Mm-hmm. No, call me if you need prom tickets. It's fine.
I did get a lot of pushback, and I struggled with that. I'm a first generation homeschooler, first generation of a lot of things in my family, and I grew up in the type of family that, especially as a woman, you go to college, you get a job. And you marry a man, if you're going to marry, you marry a man who will support that. And that was a big focus. So I had an internal wrestling But I also received a lot of pushback from family members, even to the point of, you're throwing your life away.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's another aspect of it, is I have been in ministry pretty much my entire adult life. And I remember when I had three kids, I was just about to pull them out, and I was talking to somebody that I worked with, and she said, why are you going to throw all your gifts away and just stay home? And I had to wrestle with that.
Wow.
And those are some weighty thoughts, you know, because we tend to find value, right or wrong, however right or wrong it may be, in the validation of those around us. And so, I did get a lot of pushback.
How about the monetary part of it? Because we know how difficult it is to live on two salaries right now. And that's not just an inflation thing. That's been a 25, 30-year thing. I mean, you're having to make that commitment, right?
Well, there are so many free resources available for your curriculum choices. Time is probably the biggest investment, at least for me, because you can find very expensive curriculums. You can find very, you know, cost-effective curriculums as well, and it is going to be tailored to every family. Mm-hmm. And there, you don't realize how many other opportunities it can open up, because, you know, I came from a healthcare career, and once I started homeschooling my oldest, realizing he was having a little trouble with reading and just not the interest, I have always loved to write. So I started writing a lot of little reading comprehension stories for him so that I could see, you know, where he was at with comprehension, because he would only read something that he was interested in. And that lit a fire under me. And now I have self-published three books. And we travel to different states. We get to go to Comic-Cons and festivals. And I get to sell my books, bring my children. They get to see the entrepreneurial side of things that only opened up because of my decision to homeschool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The amount of money does not exist in the entire world that is worth the time that I've had with my children.
Amen. Amen. That I mean, that says it all.
That my mother can have my children in the middle of the day to take them to lunch. That's one thing I didn't realize, was the grandparents and the time that they got with them. It's immeasurable.
Mm-hmm.
There is no amount of money that I would trade for this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get this back. When they're out of the house, I can go make money.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not. Maybe I drop dead the day after they move out. Who knows? Life is too short, and I spend it with my kids, and I will never be sorry for that.
Yeah, one of our goals, and I, when people come to us and they say we want to homeschool, the first thing I say is, why? And you write down your why, put it on your refrigerator, put it in your books, and refer to that, because there are going to be days when you are so discouraged and you need to be reminded of why you're doing that. One of my whys was, I want to be able to have relationships with my kids. I want to, when they're adults, to have that kind of relationship where I can say, hey, you want to go out and have coffee? Mm-hmm. You want to have lunch? What are you doing? Can I borrow your car? You need to borrow my car? Absolutely. You need something? I wanted to have a close bond with my kids, and I especially wanted them to have close bonds with each other. Both my parents died when my children were very little, and I knew how important that sibling bond was when you suffered the loss of a parent. So I wanted my kids to have that close bond with each other, and they do, and it is absolutely a blessing. I wouldn't trade that for any job, for any amount of money. As much as it was difficult and it was a chore, I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Okay, but now truth serum time.
Go for it.
There got to be days where you're just sick of your kids.
There was a day where my husband came home. I met him at the door. I handed him the 7-year-old, who was, for the second year in a row, attempting to sound out the word cat. And I said, you take this boy, and I'm going to go out in the yard. And I don't care what you do, but I'm going out in the yard. You deal with the boy, I'm in the yard. And that's the truth serum. You sometimes get so tired of dealing with things, especially at that point, I didn't understand why he couldn't read. I didn't realize what was going on. So I was so frustrated, which is, again, why I focused on we need to have some co-ops and parents need to talk to each other. But yeah, there were days where I knew I wasn't going to give up. But there were days where I really wanted to just take a year off and quit. My second child was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 11 years old. And that was a gut punch. We had to go to Vanderbilt constantly. We had to, we were out of town. My mother had died a few years before. My father had died the 2 years before, and my nephew had died the year before. My husband had the business he was working with had just gone under, and now my child is diagnosed with this life-altering disease. And I remember sitting in the living room and just bawling and saying, I'm going to go insane. I'm going to have a breakdown. I have got to deal with this. And I remember someone saying, well, how are you dealing with math and, you know, history and teaching reading through all of this? Because I still had an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old as well. And I said, you know what I'm doing on a daily basis? I'm keeping an 11-year-old alive. And everyone in my household is learning how to deal with that. My daughter can give him shots and he's perfectly happy getting shots from his sister. I don't know about the rest of you, but I would never have allowed any of my siblings to give me any kind of shot. We learned how the pancreas worked. We learned all the functions of the body. We learned that when one of your organs shuts down, you really stink at trying to pretend to be it and replace it. You know, the body is amazing. So we just instantly transferred what we were doing because I couldn't handle the daily, let's pull out our math books today. So we essentially stopped for about 6 months, that what you would call formal education. And we turned it into, let's learn how the human body works. And for 6 months, we learned how Vanderbilt worked. We learned where the ice cream place was at Vandy. You learn how to pass all that. The kids knew how to walk through the hallways to get their ice cream. All of that was essential because they all learned how to group together, work as a team, and become closer as siblings.
Do you know what she didn't say? She didn't say that she was sick of her kids.
No,
not
I didn't.
One time.
No.
Because you can be sick of all the frustrations or all of the things going on. I can be sick of math or that I don't have coffee. And you know what we have the freedom to do? Get in the car and go to the park and get a coffee on the way and regroup and come home and do it later or do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a freedom. I can't think of a single time that I have been sick of my kids. Not once.
Not me either.
Honestly, I've been sick of a lot of other people and a lot of other things. But just because they are in my house with me when I'm sick of those things, it doesn't make it their fault. And we're on this sort of journey together. And I think that helps because I was waiting for her to say, and I was like, no, she's not saying that. She has not been sick of her kids either.
And what you're doing on those days, you're sick of math, you're sick of reading. You go do other things with your kids. You go to the park.
Sick
you go
of not
get
being
ice
at the beach.
Yes.
No? Right.
And I'm always still doing things with the kids, but we get to shift. We get to go do something fun. We take video game breaks or we take, you know, just go read a book that we want to read for enjoyment break. We play with, you know, sand and sensory things and we regroup and we come back later and then we're all calmer and we are all in a better place.
And the beauty of it is you can do this any day of the year. Tennessee summers are blazing hot. There is absolutely no way I want to be outside when it is 96 and we've got 80 some odd percent humidity. So we would school during the summer months and we would take We would start the week of Thanksgiving and take all the rest of the year off. We never did school in December one single time because we started in June and July. I didn't like the summer, so we would take beautiful fall days off. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Let's take a day off.
All of the public schoolers are back in school, so
Absolutely.
We have the parks.
Absolutely. It was perfect for us to be able to do what we wanted when we wanted to do it. I just can't praise these ladies enough and the blessings that they have been to me and helping me in my journey through homeschooling.
I think it's okay to admit you're really frustrated.
Yes.
And I think it's okay to voice that. And that's part of community. That's part of having people like, I am just not having this homeschooling thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I'm coming, I would like to say coming out of a season of that, but I am a tired mama. It's been a long journey. And one of the best things when you hit that point of really burnout and just, I don't, there's really nothing in me that wants to do this anymore, is to take those breaks, mm-hmm. to hit that reset, and realize that their entire education does not revolve around curriculum, that there's mm-hmm. so much more to it. And so you can put that stuff away totally guilt-free. And like Adonna, you had mentioned having that why, mm-hmm. going back to the why am I even doing this? Because in the midst of frustration, when that yellow school bus is looking a bit yeah. appealing, and maybe I'm the only one that's felt that way. Mm-hmm. I've threatened my mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go on the bus? You know, to go back to that why, take a break. How can we get back to this? Because what I have found is that when you're really frustrated, it's because you've drifted from the why. Mm-hmm. Realign with the why, hit reset, and then start going again. And everybody's why is different, mm-hmm. just like everybody's homeschool looks different. You know, we used to have a schoolroom. That was when I was a good homeschool parent, and I taught Latin and classical stuff, and that was all good.
Mm-hmm.
That is not who we were. But see, I was trying to fit into someone else's box. And so when we find our why, we get into our own groove for our individual family and our individual children, because having nine of them, none of them are the mm-hmm. same. That would be far too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not, it's like you can come out of those seasons of burnout and exhaustion and just, I don't want to do this anymore. And you can come out, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep going, because you're not walking alone. And that, I think, is one of the key things.
I think that's a good place to stop.
All right.
Yay, go on.
Yay.
Great job.